They say these following words. They say, "Posa mechodas achsani," and no one knows what they mean. That's what all rabbis say when they're speaking as guests. Posa mechodas achsani. Even though I live here, posa mechodas achsani means that if you're a guest somewhere, you should always open up thanking the host. Right? Before, even though I live here, I'm not the host. So, thanks for all of that, all of this. Delicious Seudo is to the Rebbetzin. And also to the Rebbetzin's mother.
Do you want
to
start?
My mother-in-law.
Different Taurus.
Gerard Weiser!
Woo! Weiser!
Okay, there's a lot to talk about, Rabbi Isai, in all seriousness.
Why?
There's a lot to talk about.
Why?
There's a lot to talk about on Hanukkah. We'll try it like this. Usually when we have a suda, that suda consists of basar v'yayin. Ein simcha el of basar v'yayin. Meat and wine, those are the generic foods which lead to simcha. They cause us to be happy, and that's usually what a yontif meal or a Shabbos meal even consists of. Certainly a yontif. It is therefore strange that tonight we instead had milk, milchiks. And as you know, that actually is not just a custom, it's actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Rama in Shulchan Aruch mentions that the custom is to have gvina, cheese made from milk during Chanukah. Now the reason that the Mishnah Brura mentions the reason, really where the Rama is coming from, is the story of Yehudis, who was able to successfully kill a Greek general, or whatever they would call him. For those of you who did Ksubas last year, you had this Hegemonas Bolatchila. So the way that she killed this Greek general is by first giving him milk makes you tired, fall asleep, and then she chopped up his head. Now, that was for you. That was the part that you liked.
Yeah.
Now,
thank you, appreciate that.
The question is there something deeper? Is there something deeper to the fact that Dafkan Chanukah, we have this strange custom to partake of milk? Why milk? But before we ask why milk, we have to ask why we're here all together. Why are we having a chagiga? Why do you have three chagigas? Why are we having a meal? In fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch that there is no Sudas mitzvah on Chanukah. Shulchan Aruch paskins, unlike Purim, where there's a mitzvah to have a meal, on Chanukah there is no meal, and the meals that you have, that we have, these chagigas, according to the Shulchan Aruch, are simply reshus, are simply things, meals of that we're allowed to have, but there's no mitzvah. It's not what we classify as a Sudas mitzvah, unlike Purim. So forget why the milk, why do we have this all together? Why are we here? What's the idea? So let's think about Chanukah altogether. Chanukah altogether is two facets, two aspects to Chanukah, two miracles that we celebrate. We have the miracle of the Neis Pach HaShemen, we have the military victory, the Neis HaMilchama of the Rabbi Miad Ma'atim, the gigantic Greek army that fell into the hands of the Chashmonaim. And we celebrate those two miraculous events, the Shemen burning for 8 days and the miraculous military conquest, on Chanukah. That's what we do. What were the Chashmonaim fighting for? What was the battle all about? As was mentioned, I think, quickly before, their battle was not a physical battle. The Greeks were not after the Jews to kill them. Unlike, in contrast, to the story of Purim, where the Jews were going to be annihilated. That was not the case when it comes to Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not a battle over the body of the Jewish people. They were not in any threat of being killed. What was the fight over? As you all know, the fight was over one thing. The Mikdash. The Mikdash. The Yevanim had come and taken the Beis HaMikdash and they had defiled it. Right? We know that at the end they were barely able to find any pure oil that was not contaminated. They defiled the Beit Avodah Zarah and the Beis HaMikdash. They took that holiest of sites and they defiled it. What was it about the Mikdash that that the Greeks were so bothered by? What was their attack on Mikdash? So, there's a Mishnah that we all did at the end of Sukkah. Give you a little faher.
Which we all... Oh.
we already had our test on Sukkah.
Right? So there's a Mishnah right at the end there talks about a certain one of the groups of Kohanim that was punished. And there are certain punishments their locker in the Beis HaMikdash was blocked off, etc. They were punished. What was their name? Do you remember?
Nadav.
I think it was Bilga, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, is that right?
So it says there that the group of Kohanim had the name of Bilga, they were punished. They were punished. It says that their tabas, their ring that they used to shech the animals, hold the animals, was sealed up. And they were punished. They were given a knas. What was the reason? So the Gemara there explains that one of the daughters of this group of Kohanim, from this family of Kohanim, so she, during the time when the Greeks took control, she went into the Beis HaMikdash, if I remember the Gemara correctly, and literally slapped the Mizbeach, I think it says, with her sandal, and she said, "Locus, locus." Locus means a wolf, apparently in Greek. And she called the Mizbeach a wolf, that you're eating up the Mamon and Shalisoy, you're just eating up all their money, the Jews. Because they bring korbanos, but it doesn't help, because who's in charge? The Greeks. And as a result, her family was punished later when the Chashmonaim took control. Well, what's the pshat? What was the pshat? What was bothering them with the Mizbeach? Why did she call the Mizbeach a wolf? What was the pshat? Oh, the pshat is, the simple pshat is that it wasn't working. It wasn't working. It was just eating up all the mamonim, all their money, but there were no results. Where are the results? There was no results. We all know the Greeks had their temples, right? The Greeks had temples. They worshipped their gods, the Greek gods. So it's not that the concept of worship was so foreign to them, right? They had their temples. You can go to this day to Athens or wherever it is and see all these sort of various temples that they built. So what was so strange about the Mizbeach? What bothered them so much about the Mizbeach that they felt the need to attack it? So I think the pshat's like this. I think the pshat is that the Jewish Mizbeach is fundamentally different than that Greek altar. The Greek altar is please the gods and then get back from the gods. It's like giving a little present, give a little gift to the gods and you'll get something back in return. So you pick this god, the god of this, the god of that, the god of the other thing, right? They all have their little things that they're in charge of, and you do your worship and you get something in return, instant. That's why Miriam Bas Bilga, I think that was her name, she couldn't understand. She slapped and disgraced the Mizbeach. She said, "It's not working. It's not working. Where's my? You know, I gave you all these karbanas, and there's nothing in return. Where's my gift in return? It's not working." That's not at all the Jewish Mizbeach. That's not all the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeach is a place which is super physical. It is super physical. We bring animals up on the Mizbeach. We did many Mishnayos of. We bring parts of animals on the Mizbeach. That's what the Mizbeach is. But what is the notion of Hakravas HaKarban? The basis for Hakravas HaKarban is, what was the first, this sort of model of all Karbanos that would follow? Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak, when Yitzchak Avinu was brought up by his father on the very location of the Beis HaMikdash, and he himself was offered up, almost. That's really the idea of any carbon. Any carbon, what's the idea? You're sacrificing, as it were, yourself. You're bringing yourself. But instead, just as Yitzhak was spared and an animal in his stead was brought, so do we bring that animal. But really, we know who's it supposed to be? Us. We do vidui on the animal before. That's supposed to be me. That's supposed to be me. There's something there beyond just, here, God, here's a cow, and now give me a tree. No. It's a recognition that there's something deeper. There's something a lot more spiritual. There's something a lot more internal in the message of the Mizbeach. It is external. We take an animal, and we go bring it up, and we offer it up. But really, we recognize that there's something there behind the scenes, and that's supposed to be us. That animal should be me. We're really offering ourselves. That's ultimately the idea of the Mizbeach. The Greeks don't see that depth. The Greeks don't see beyond the surface. What is Greece? Greece is philosophy. Greece is science. It is that empirical wisdom. Empirical wisdom means you look around the world and you see and you observe. That is the empirical world of science. Look around, observe phenomena, and analyze them. That's what you see. What you see is what you get. Delve into what you see. You might have a sophisticated understanding of what you get. It might be molecules rather than just a table, but it's what you see. That's what Yavin is. And it's interesting that Greek power, that externality of Greece, both looking the science, the philosophy, looking at the externals, both in the beauty, as you guys were mentioning before, the beauty of the body, again, the externals, all that beauty, and Greece brought a lot of beauty into the world. Ironically, that beauty that Greece is called by Chazal, darkness. It's called by Chazal, when they talk about the different Galuyos, Greece, Yavin is called Choshech. Darsh the Pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis. Yavin is called Choshech. The irony is that the great, beautiful world, developed, sophisticated world, whether it's of the body, whether it's their great temples, whether it's their philosophical and scientific advance, all of that is darkness. Why is it darkness? I think the pshat is, it's not darkness on its own. It's beautiful. Even Chazal say, Yachtel Kim Liefes, Vishkan Bole Shem, it's a pasuk. But Chazal say that you can even have a Torah written in Greek. There's halachas. We accept there is a certain connection almost in positive nature to Greece. There is that beauty. What's the problem? The problem is that sometimes that external beauty can blind us. And it darkens our eyes, it causes a choshech from seeing something deeper. It's not darkness in the sense of ignorance of the dark ages. It's darkness because it's so bright and beautiful and attractive and attracting that all we settle for is that surface, is that body, is that here's a present to the gods and I'll get something back. It's that external world, but there's nothing beyond. There's nothing beyond. In a word, the Chashmonaim were fighting for Pnimius. They were fighting for something deeper, the ability to see beyond the surface. The Greeks also had their temples, but that's not the Mizbeach. That's not the Mizbeach. We light the menorah. We light the menorah with shemen. That's how this. That was one of the nisim of Hanukkah. We many Jews around the world still do the mitzvah the best way, and they use shemen. What's interesting about shemen? Shemen, of course, is pnimius. You take the olive and you squeeze it out, and you take out the pnimius. Chazal say that eating olives causes shichachas haTorah. If you eat olives, you forget your Torah. And what's a way to remember your Torah?
By eating grapes.
Olive oil. What's the chiluk? The chiluk is, it's different pshatim.
Why here?
But the olive is the external.
It's deeper, it's the internal.
And the shemen internal. Is the pnimius, is the internal, seeing beyond that bitter fruit and seeing what you can get out. And that is Dafka, that shemen, that is the miracle of Hanukkah. Chazal say that you look at the Neris Hanukkah, or it said in the Sfarim, I'm not sure where it said that, if you look in the Neres Chanukah, there's a little bit of the Or HaGonus, that special sublime light that was reserved, that was at the beginning of the creation of the universe, before there was a sun. There was that Or HaGonus, that there was a certain Or that was in the world, that was Gonus, that was hidden away for Tzadikim. And it says in the Sfarim that a little bit of that Or somehow seeps its way into the Ner Chanukah. Receives out of the Ner Chanukah. What's the Pshat? That's the Pshat. The Pshat is that R, that light which is not the physical light, not the light of the sun. The sun is the Greek god. The sun is, it lights up the world, that's true. But all it allows us to do is see out here. I can see you. I can see the world around. If the sun doesn't light up the Pnimius, that's the Aragonus, that's the Ner Chanukah. Could be, I was thinking, that maybe that's another reason why we eat milchus. Maybe that's the pshat. Milchus, is basar is the davar hachitzoni. Basar is what you see. You see the cow. Okay, the cow. It's a cow. That's what you see is what you get. The milk, you always have to take it out from the inside. It's inside. It's extracted from the animal. And it's totally different, right? Milk and meat are totally different, even though it comes from the same thing. It's the same animal. Why isn't it flacious? It's different. Came from the cow. It's from the cow. Eat the leg, that's the cow. Eat the flanken, that's the cow.
What's a flanken?
Whatever you eat, that's what you're getting. You're eating the basar, the brisket, all that. You're eating all the different parts of the cow. When it comes to the when it comes to the milk that you take out, when it comes to the pnimius, so it's a totally different ballgame. That's milk. It's a totally different thing. Could be. Maybe that's another reason why on Chanukah, davka the minig is the milchiks. Davka, because we're focusing on the Chanukah, on the Pnimius. That is the battle of the Chashmonaim against the Yevanim. That Shulchan Aruch, like I told you before, we asked another question, right? We said the Shulchan Aruch says all the surahs that we have are surahs Rishus. There's no mitzvah to have a meal. Why is that? Because Purim was a physical battle. They were going to kill us. So how do we celebrate that? Physically. As we mentioned, Chanukah ultimately is a spiritual battle. And therefore, no need to have a surah. What are we celebrating that physically? It doesn't match. The answer is, you're right. What does the Ramah say there in Shulchan Aruch? The Ramah says that the meaning is that we do have surahs, and it's Ktas Mitzvah. And he says, what should you do? You should say, she doesn't say Dvar Torah exactly. He says, Shiras Hitishbachos. Also Dvar Torah. Sing praise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the surah turns into his mitzvah. So it's Mamish Kishmak, no? It's Mahamish Kishmak. The meal itself, you're right. The meal itself, that's not Chanukah. That's the externals. But when you use the meal as a platform to sing that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what you turn your table into?
Mitzvah.
You turn into a Mizbeach. There is the physical, but that's not the mitzvah on Chanukah. What's the mitzvah? Sing Shir V'Tishbacha, same Divrei Torah. You're using that meal, you're using that celebration, but you're infusing it with Pnimius. That's exactly Chanukah. That's what the Ramah writes. That turns into a Surah's Mitzvah. And that's what we do. Rabbi Yisai. Pnimius is hard. It's hard to see. You don't really see it. That's the problem. We see, we're so lost, blinded, if you will, darkened. Our eyes are darkened by the brightness of Yava. So much so that this message is itself hard for you to sort of receive and take in. But Rabbi Yisai, there's the world outside in all of its beauty, and it is beautiful. But there's a penis, there's something more there. There's something more. And it's not just in the world outside, Rabbi Yisai. It's in each and every one of us. Part of the avod of Chanukah is look inside yourself. Look at the world. And see Pnimius. See that there's something more. What is Pnimius? What does that mean, Pnimius, internal? What does that mean? It means on the most basic level, there's something more there. There's something more than meets the eye, as we would say. Rabbi Yisai, you're at an age where this is something which is attainable. I would say for the average high school kid to talk about pnimius, it's just not going to happen. There's too much yavam. There's too much yavam. And our day, there's boatloads of yavam. Boatloads. You guys carry yavam in your pockets. At least back in my time, I had to sit in one place in the living room. Now, it's everywhere. It's portable yavam. Yavam's everywhere.
It's yavam.
It's in every pocket.
It's in your pocket.
It's everywhere. It's on your phone. It's everywhere around. Oh, what's the idea? Again, it's not just... We always yell at you guys or encourage you, you know, with the phones and the iPods and this. It's not just what's on there. The point is that it... You know what it is? It's like what it does is it puts a mask. You can only see this far. You can only see as far as from your eyes to your iPod. That is your distance of vision. Then it stops. And you can't see anymore. That what it does is you cannot see pnimius. You don't see there's something more going on in the world, and it's such a challenge for all of us, even those that don't of us that don't carry around the iPod and the BlackBerry and whatever it is. We struggle so much because when you walk around outside, the bottom line, everything that we encounter is the externals. It's the Shemesh, the Or of the Shemesh. It's not the Or HaGanuz. Everything we see is empirical. It's Yavan. It's scientific. Whether it's the news, what's going on in the world, whether it's the physical world outside, we don't interact with pnimius on a daily basis. We're distant. We're very distant from ourselves as well. And like I said, for the high school kid, I'm not sure he can do it, or not easily. But for a ben yeshiva, someone that's past that stage, especially in Eretz Yisrael, and maturing to the point where a little bit, just like that little smidgen of Or HaGanuz that might seep out of the Neres Chanukah to look into yourselves, they're both like, Im lo achshav im asayiv, it's not this year, and it's not now at this point in your life that you begin to see a little bit beyond, a little deeper into the pnimius, ain't gonna happen. That is Chanukah. Again, it's not... Don't make a mistake. The tumah that we're talking about is not just with simply, oh, that's us or that's it. No. It's just the notion that we see what we get. We get what we see. That's it. We don't see beyond. If there's any message of the Shemen of Chanukah, of the Milchiks of Chanukah, of the Shiras of Tishbachos, of the Hallel on Chanukah, which is Mamish the Mitzvah, that's where the Rambam talks about all of the Chazalas by Chanukah, all the Shiras of Tishbachos, which emanate ultimately from our core, from our pnimius, that's what Chanukah is. Rabosai, it's the darkest time of the month. Darkest time. End of Kislev. Oh, deep into the winter, the end of the month, the moon's disappearing. Total darkness. That's the end of Kislev. And it's in that darkness, no matter how bright that darkness may be, it's through that darkness that Ner Chanukah comes and says, no, we're going to light it up. We're going to see a little bit beyond. Those I encourage you, please, if it, like I said before, take the time to think. It's both internal, in yourself, and out the world at large. There's more there. Tap into that. That's ultimately what the Chashmonaim we're fighting for, and that's what we have to fight for also on this Chanukah. Okay.